Today, Shir Masechta Sotah, Daf Yud Tes, and we will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach at the new Perek. The Perek, the Mishnayos, continue with the process of how the Sotah brought her Korban Mincha and how she drank the Mehem Amorim. Says the Mishnah, Hayonaitel Minchasa, the husband would take the Korban Mincha b'toich Kfifa Mitzvahs. Rashi says that what the Mishnah is referring to, the individual mentioned in our Mishnah is the husband of this woman that had brought the Korban Mincha in this wicker basket. He took it out of the wicker basket and put it into the Kli Sharis. The nice little Kli Sharis, because as Rashi explains, the halacha that at what point may the procedure of the Korban Mincha be done by someone who's not a Kohen, only begins later in the process. It's only by the Kemitza. Tosfos, however, quotes a Yerushalmi that says that this taking of the Korban Mincha out of the Kfifa Mitzvahs was done by a Kohen. And Tosfos agrees that, of course, from Kemitzen on, is it essential that it be done by a Kohen? Still, he says it was a mitzvah to be. There's a mitzvah to be done through a Kohen. V'nois nal yada, and then after he took the Korban Mincha and put it into Kli Sharis, they put the Korban Mincha that's in the Kli Sharis on the hand of the woman. The kohen meniach yada tachtav, and then the kohen puts his hands below that woman's hands, umanifa, and then they do the tenufa, which the Gemara is going to Mitzvah Shem explain how exactly the tenufa is done. The Gemara Masech the Menachis, Daf Samach Bezom and Aleph explains that tenufa means up and down and back and forth to represent that everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The reason it was put on her hand is because the halacha is that the woman is supposed to participate in the tenufa together with the kohen. The reason, explains Tosfos, that the Mishnah says "Umachnas yodai," is because the Tana wants to teach us exactly what we just discussed, that tenufa, the kohen has to participate in the tenufa. And others explain, it really goes back to what we just mentioned before, the machlokes of Rashi and Tosfos, that the point that they were trying to say is that even normally, everything that was mentioned till here does not need to be done by a kohen, by a Korban Mincha. By this Korban Mincha, it should be done with the kohen. Tosfos also quotes a Yerushalmi that if Rachman Tzlon, the woman who is the Saita, doesn't have any hands, the halacha is that still then two Kohanim participate in the Tenufa. And the Migdash David explains that why is that the case. So he says that since the Tenufa is considered an avoider, and yes, normally the avoider cannot be done by Israel. There's a special halacha that a tenufa, the owner of the Korban Mincha, has to participate. But now, says the Migdash David in explaining what Tosfos is quoting the Yerushalmi, that since the owner cannot participate, we have two Kohanim participate in the tenufa. So there's, of course, a big discussion. How can we suggest that the Kohen put his hands under the hand of the woman to do tenufa? Won't the hands of the woman serve as a chatzitza between the Korban Mincha and the Kohen's hands? So Tosfos says from here that it doesn't mean that his hands are directly under her hands, but rather what it means is that his hands are on one spot below the keli in which the carbon mincha is, and her hands are another spot. The keli, the vessel in which the carbon mincha was wide enough for two different people to have their hands there. But since it was wide enough for two different people to have their hands there, the kohen's hands did not have to be directly under the woman's hands. I saw that other Rishonim suggest that the reason that this is not a concern is because that's what the way the Torah wants this tanufa to take place. So although typically chatzitza is a serious issue, over here it's not such an issue because the Torah says to do it this way. The other question that the Rishonim and the Achronim discuss, that why is this not an issue that the Kohen is touching the hands of this woman? So Tysus quotes a teretz that they deliberately brought an older Kohen where we don't have these concerns. Another pshat is that even if they didn't bring an older Kohen, since this was an avoida, this tanufa, something that took just a few minutes, we don't have to be concerned. The Kabbalah Adah says that that's what Yishalmi explains. The Yishalmi says that for those few minutes that we don't need to be concerned. Others explain that this was done in the Azara, and there were many people sitting in the Azara, and that's why we're not concerned. Another parrot that I saw is, as we've been learning from throughout our sugyas, the woman goes through a lot of different activities that we do to women to make her not look appealing. So in such a situation, we don't need to be concerned. However, if we follow the pshat that we just quoted from Tysus, that the Kohen's hands were not directly under the woman's hands. And the reason the Kohen's hands were not directly under the woman's hands, because otherwise, as we mentioned, there would be a concern for chatzitza. So then everything starts to make sense. They weren't actually touching. If they weren't touching, we're not worried about the Kohen touching the hand of the woman. From here, we also have a discussion in the Paiskim. If somebody can't find his yarmulke, he can't find a head covering, so what could he use? So the Paiskim suggests that he can't use his own hand to cover his head, but he could use somebody else's hand. That somebody else's hand is not considered an extension of his hand. Hanif, so they did the tenufa, the hegish, and then they brought the carbon mincha to, as we discussed many times, to the southwest corner of the mizbeach. Kamatz, and then the kohen took off the kmitza, the hikter up from the carbon mincha, separated it, the hikter, and put the kaimitz on top of the mizbeach for burning, vashar, and the rest of the karban mincha, the halacha is done, nechal kanim, is eaten by the kanim, they're considered kachi kachim. Says the Mishnah, hayamashka, according to the chachamim, now we have a machloikis exactly when was the karban mincha brought, vis-a-vis when they actually gave the woman to drink. According to the opinion of Tanakama, first she drank, and then they brought the Karban Mincha. That is the order of the Psukim. Rav Shimon says it was in the reverse. He says that first they brought the Karban Mincha, and afterwards she drank the Mayim Marim. Says the Shinemar, says Rav Shimon, the basis for his psak, for his opinion, that only after the mincha is brought does she drink the water. However, says Rav Shimon, that he will agree that if they first gave it to drink and only after they gave it to drink they brought the karban mincha, share it's fine. So I saw that the Sefer Nesivos HaKodesh asks, why was it necessary for the Mishnah to teach us that the rest of the Karban Mincha is Nechal Kahanim? We know that that is the halacha by every Karban Mincha. By every Karban Mincha, the halacha is that you bring the Karban Mincha, and then you bring a kaimitz on the Mizbeach, and the rest is eaten by the Kohanim. So why was it necessary to teach us Vashan Nachal Kohanim? So he explains that the Korban Mincha that's brought by a Soita is different than all other Korban Minchas. It's just a part of the procedure to determine her guilt or innocence, and therefore maybe it should not be treated like all other Korban Minchas. That's why the Mishnah teaches that no, that this Korban Mincha is treated like all other Korban Minchas, Vashan Nechel Kahanim. Amalei Reb Lezer, Reb Yeshua de Dorei. Reb Lezer spoke to Reb Yeshua of his, the one that lived in his generation. Leitesev Akarech, don't sit down, Adam Efashli Laha Milsa, until you could explain the following halacha. Menayin L'minchas Soita Shetuna Tanufa. Where do we know that Tanufa is required? So what's the need, Rashi explains, for us to tell us that Rabbi Lazar was speaking to Rabbi Shua in his generation. So he explains that in Rabbi Lazar's generation, there was the great Tana that Rabbi Yoshe that still lived. We often find in Shas, machlokes between Rabbi Yoshe and Rabbi Yosin. So in order to avoid anybody chas v'sham thinking that Rabbi Lazar would speak to the great Tana Rabbi Yoshe in this way, so the Gemara goes out of its way to identify that it was Rabbi Lazar, the Rabbi Yoshe, the Dorei. It was his contemporary. It was another Amira, but not Chas v'Shalom that he would be speaking to a Tana in that way. Another pshat this Mefarshim suggests was that the reason he said it that way is because, as we've learned often, there's a rule, a kol oimer davar b'shem oimer mevi gula l'olam. It's critical to properly identify who said what, and therefore it was critical to identify that this was Rabbi Lazar the Dorei, who Rabbi Yoshe the Dorei, who, as we're going to learn now, the halacha is the one that taught us this halacha. Another pshat that I saw, why did he say leitesev akarech? Because the Gemara in Masechet Megillah teaches us that difficult Gemaras, they learn sitting, so they should be able to concentrate and be able to explain the difficult Gemaras. Easier halacha, they learned standing. And what he's saying was, leitesev akarech, there's no need to sit down for this. There's no need to sit down. This is something that we know is understandable. It's not so hard to understand. You could learn it standing. So the question was, how do we know that tenufa is done by for the mincha the Korban Soita brings? Ask the Gemara Menolon, the Hainuk Sibah. The Pasuk explicitly says, V'lokecha koyim b'yari ishas mincha kanos, v'heinef samincha l'fnei Hashem. Rather, ask the Gemara Balam Menolon, how do we know that the husband participates, that the wife participates in this Korban Mincha? Answers, the Gemara asks yad yad mishlamim. We learn a gzer shava where the word yad was brought by the Korban Shlamim. Ksiv hocha, by the Korban Mincha of the Soita, the Pasuk says, v'lokach ha-koyim b'yad ha-isha. V'ksiv hosam, by the Korban Shlamim, the Pasuk says, yod of tiyana. Mal kan, just like by the Soita, it's done with the koyin. Af l'halon, by the Korban Shlamim, it's the koyin participates in the tenufa. Mal l'halon balam, just like over there, the owners participate, because the pasuk says yodov tivyanu, clearly indication that the owner participates in the tenufa. Afkan here too, balam, the owners participate in the tenufa. Haketzad, how is this accomplished? Mniach yodoy tachas yad balam, the owner puts his hands under the hands of the kohen puts his hands under the hands of the balam. Mniach to teach us that's a tenufa. And as I sort of say from Mincha Chareva explains, what the Gemara is trying to teach us here is that not only do both the Kohen and the owner participate in the tenufa, but it has to be done specifically as it was taught in our Mishnah, with the Kohen's hands under the hands of the owner, not vice versa. We learned further in our Mishnah, Heina fehigish v'kametz, haimashka v'akar rav minkosa. Ask the Gemara, Ha'akava, haven't we already learned in our Mishnah that they brought the Korban Mincha? So how can we say that they only brought the Korban Mincha after they did the Hashgaah Soita? Hachkami answers the Gemara. This is what the Mishnah means to teach us. Say the Menachas Keitzad. What is the proper order for bringing the Korban Mincha? Heinef v'hegish kametz v'hikter v'sha nechel kahanim. That is the order of how the Korban Mincha should be brought, and in that there's no argument that is the proper procedure of the Korban Mincha. Now says the Gemara, about the Mishnah taught us v'ashka gufa, and in this question of when the Ashkar takes place, when they gave it to drink, says Mishnah, Bashkar Gufa Pligir of Shimon Rabbanan. In other words, what the Mishnah is saying is that what the Mishnah is trying to teach us is the procedure for the bringing of the Korban Mincha. Not only is the Mishnah trying to teach us the procedure for bringing the Korban Mincha, the Mishnah is actually teaching us that there is no argument regarding that procedure. And not only is there no argument regarding that procedure, the Mishnah also wanted first to finish teaching us the halachas of the Korban Mincha, not interrupt. And then the Mishnah now teaches us the machlokes, when exactly did the Hashkar take place. The Rabbanan Tzari, the opinion of the Rabbanan is, Mashkev Akach Makrev Es Mechasoi, first she drank and then they bring the Korban Mincha. And Rav Shimon Tzavar, the other way around, Makrev Mechaso V'Akach Mashke Shenemar, because as he quoted the pasuk in the Mishnah, the pasuk says v'achayashka, v'mishka v'akach hikras minchasa. But we learned that Rav Shimon agrees that if they reverse the order, share it's acceptable. The Torah discusses in three different times in the parasha because that she drinks the hishka, that she has to drink the mehamarim. So Gemara focuses on that word v'hishka. Tanur Rabbanan, v'hishka, matamaloymer. The pasuk says, v'hishka samayim. So why does the Torah also say at the beginning of the parasha the words v'hishka seisha? To teach us, shemnimcha megillah. If the megillah was already erased, and at that point, the woman says, v'meris, at that point, the woman says, eini shaisa, I'm not going to drink. But as the Rishonim point out, even though she's saying that she's refusing to drink, it's not because she's admitting that she's guilty. She's just saying, I don't want to drink, and I won't take a ksuba, let's end the marriage, but I don't want to drink. Teaches us the pasuk, in nimcha megillah v'omeris ein eshoises ma'arin, we force her mouth, we open her mouth forcefully, mashkin es ba'korcha, and we force her to drink divrei Rabbi Akiva. So, according to this opinion, the hashkar is done after they brought the Korban Mincha. Why? Because we want to delay bringing the Korban, doing the hashkar until the last possible point. And as Rashi explains, we force her to drink. So the Mefarshim asked, in our previous year, we had a discussion if a woman drank the Mei Marim not in the normal fashion. She didn't drink it straight out of a cup. She drank it from a straw. Is that considered drinking? So how could we suggest that today's shear, that somebody who's forced to drink something, it should be considered drinking? And therefore, I saw that the Sefer Shari Saita, in answer to this question, explains that as long as she's drinking in the normal fashion, it's considered drinking. The fact that she's being forced to drink does not make something in Shloi Derech Achila. A very important concept is being established here. If somebody is eating something that they don't want to eat, that they're being forced to eat, that doesn't make it be considered Shloi Derech Achila. What's considered Shloi Derech Achila is if you don't eat or drink in a normal fashion. It's drinking from a store, that's not in a normal fashion. But drinking in a normal fashion, but just drinking because you don't want to drink, doesn't make it shleika derech achila. Rav Shimon Amar v'acha yashka. Rav Shimon disagrees, and he says, v'atam loimer. Again, he starts with the same question. For like v'nemar v'hishka samayim, what's it coming to teach us? Achakol ha'maisim kula amur l'mala. After the entire procedure, including the bringing of the Korban Mincha, Magid Shlosh Dvar Makam Lishtas. The three procedures that prevent her from being able to drink yet. Achlai Karva Kaimitz, First, we have to have the kmitza. Vachloi nimchara megillah. We also have to have the megillah. Vachloi tekabel ashvua. The megillah being erased. The pasha soita being erased. And we also have to have Achloi tekabel ashvua. She has to accept the shvua on her. And I saw that the Sefer Tveres Tzion explains that Reb Shimon is following his opinion throughout Shas. And that is Reb Shimon's the mandama that's Dorish Tam the Krah. Reb Shimon's the mandama that always tries to explain the Pshat in the Pasuk. And this is very much in line here because we want to delay the woman drinking the water. How do we accomplish delaying the woman drinking the water by doing more and more before she actually drinks? Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, actually Karva Kamet, we just learned that one of the things that Rav Shimon holds has to take place before she drinks the water is the bringing of the Kamet to the Karvan Mincha. Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon Latamei, Rav Shimon's following his opinion that he taught us in the Mishnah, Makrav We learned in the Mishnah that we said that we don't give it to drink until the Megillah is erased. Ask the Gemara, of course she can't drink until the Megillah is erased. If it's not erased, what is what we give her to drink? What we give her to drink is the Mayim Amarim, which is the water that has the document that was erased in it. So of course you have to have makva, you have to have it. So what's the chiddush? Amar Rav Ashi L'Nitzcha Rishuma Nikar, that even if they erase this Megillah, but it's not totally erased, there's still left ink on the piece of paper. The halacha is that that's not considered yet Mayim Amarim. And I saw that the Sefer Divrei Shaul explains certainly. If the letters on the piece of paper are still recognizable, it's not considered erased. The chiddush of the Gemara is that even if there's just ink left on the paper, it's not considered erased. Actually, and then we learned further, actually, the Kabbalah Shvua. She doesn't drink until she accepts the Shvua that we discussed in our previous Shiurim that the woman has to take upon herself. Says the Gemara, she doesn't drink until she accepts the Shvua. But ask the Gemara, Michtav Kasvalei, does that mean that we would write the Megillah? Vamarava, Megillah Saitish Kasvah Kunsh Kabbalah Shvua, that it's very clear that the halacha requires that the Megillah should not even be written before she accepts upon her shvuas. And if she did it, and if it was done before, it's a meaningless act. So how can we suggest that the erasure was done afterwards? They didn't even write it before it. And says the Gemara, you're right. Kedei Nizba. This halacha was just mentioned, but the halacha is that, of course, the Megillah is not even written and certainly not erased until she accepts the shvua. Moreover, Rashi teaches us that the halacha is that the Megillah could be written only by a kohen. And the Rambam points out that not only may it be written by a kohen, it has to be written by a kohen who's a gadol, who's an adult. Because a kohen that's a katan, albeit that he's a kohen, it's going to be possible. And the Kesef Mishnah says that he doesn't know where the Rambam takes this halacha, that it has to be a gadol. The Meches Chitten explains the reason perhaps why the Rambam says it has to be a kohen who's a gadol is because you have to have kavana when you write the Megillah, and if the katan wrote it, we know a katan is not bar kabbalah. There's an interesting discussion. The Meches Chinuch points out, however, that even though the Rambam says that cost of a katan, that if the kohen who wrote the Megillah was a katan, it would be possible, the Meches Chinuch suggests that if the kohen who wrote the Megillah was a balmum, that it would be kosher. Because, explains the Meches Chinuch, the writing of the Megillah, the Torah requires indeed a kohen. But just because the Torah indeed requires a kohen, doesn't mean that it's an avoida. So since it's not considered an avoida, it's not necessary that it has to be done by a kohen who's not a gadol. So, as we've been learning, and the Mishnah, the Braisa just elaborated on what we learned in the Mishnah, the Machloikas, Rabbanan and Rav Shimon, what is the proper order? Is it the Mincha and then the Ashka, or the Ashka and then the Mincha? So the Gemara says, B'maikamifki, what is the basis of the Machloikas? Tlosa Kroksiv, he says, the Gemara, as we said earlier, the Torah uses the word Vehishka twice. Vehishka, first, the Torah uses the word Hishka that's mentioned before the Akhtara. The word Vahachayeshka, which is also before the Akhtara. Vehishka Basra, which is mentioned after the Akhtara. Rabbanan Savri, it is the opinion of the Rabbanan, Kama Lagufa, the first time it's there to teach us the basic halacha, Shemashka of Akach Makrav Esmenchasa, the first she drinks, and then they bring the Karban Mincha. Then when we have the Pasuk of Achayashkav, Mibaylei, for what we learned a few moments ago, Rishuma Nikar, that the halacha is that we have to be able to, that it has to be erased to the degree to where it's not noticeable anymore. And Vehishka Basra, to teach us some Nicha Megillah Vaymeris Eini Shaisa, that if after the Megillah was already erased, the woman comes and says, well, I don't want to drink, then Ma'aron Aysa, we force her to drink, or Mashkon Aysa Bal Karcha. So I saw the Tosfos asks, actually, why do we have to have a pasuk that there can be nothing, there can't be anything left on the document? Doesn't the pasuk say Umacha? So Macha means that it has to be erased. So Tosfos Shantz answers that if we only had the word Umacha, we would learn that the ink that's used, one Tosfos Shantz suggests that if there was ink that was used that's not erasable, it's disqualified. But as long as you used erasable ink, it's acceptable. That's why the Pasuk has to have another limud to teach us you can't have Rishuma Nikar. Others explain, as we said earlier, that the halacha here is not only, Macha just tells us that you have to erase the words, but maybe if you have some ink still noticeable, it would be acceptable. That's why we need the Pasuk here to teach us that you can't have any noticeable ink. That's the way Rav Shimon learns the Pesukim. That's the way Rabbanan learned the Pesukim. Rav Shimon Sava, however, Acha Yashka Lagufay, is teaching us Shemak Vesmilchasa Vakak Mashka. Vishka Kama, the first time the Torah used the word Hishka to come to teach us, Shem Hishka Vakak Hikras Mechasai, to teach us that if you reverse the order, it's still acceptable. Kshera. Vishka Basra comes to teach us the same halach as the Rabbanan teach us, Shem Nechaka Megillah, if the Megillah was already erased, Vamra, the woman says, Eini Shais, I refuse to drink, Ma'aron Oysai, Ma'aron Oysa, Mashkan Oysa, Bal Karcha. Rabbanan say, why do Rabbanan not agree with Rav Shimon? They say, it's difficult for them to accept that the Pasuk would be teaching that the first halach in the Pasuk is coming to teach us that if you did it the wrong way, it's acceptable. But the Eved, like Pasuk Kra, it's difficult to accept that the Pasuk is coming to teach us that if you did it, that's the first halacha the Torah wants to teach us. The Savar of Akiva. So we've learned, Rabbi Akiva taught us earlier on this Amid, that if the woman, after the water was, after it was already erased, that if the woman says that, I don't want to drink, we force her to drink. Ask the Gemara, the Savar of Akiva Mashkanai Sabal Karcha, does Rabbi Akiva actually hold that we force her to drink? Asking Rav Tanya, have we not learned the Braisa? The Braisa says, Rabbi Yehuda Oymekabel Shabazel. They put like a metal implement, Matilon Techpia, they were put into her mouth. Shemnechag Megillah, that if the Megillah was already erased, Vramrein Shoysen, she refuses to drink. Ma'aron Aysa, we force her. Or Mashkan Aysa, Bakarcha. Amram Akiva, Klum Anotzrichel Elevodkai. What is the entire purpose of going through this procedure? To determine if she's innocent or guilty. The fact that she is refusing to drink is clearly indication that she's guilty. Rather, what it means to say is, till the kaimitz was brought, we can't force her. So we see from Rabbi Kiva that we don't force her to drink. But ask the Gemara, let's understand what Rabbi Kiva just said. First, Rabbi Kiva made a statement. that we never force a woman to drink, because her refusal to drink is the greatest admission of guilt. Mikarva kametz and yachal achzba. But then Rabbi Akiva, who just taught us that we never force her to drink, because the fact that she's refusing to drink is the greatest admission of guilt, then Rabbi Akiva said, Mishkarva kametz, once the kametz was brought, and yachal achzba, she can't change her mind. But let's understand, the fact that she is refusing to drink, don't we have Rabbi Akiva himself saying a concept that there's no point in drinking because she admitted, says the Gemara, ha lekasha. The way to understand Rabbi Akiva's opinion is as follows. Ha de kumahadra machm fisusa. If she is regretting that she's refusing to drink, that's one case. For ha de mekhadra machm fisusa. Or sometimes she's admitting, not because she's fearful of what's going to happen, because she knows that she's tummy. Vachkama. Kamakam spriusoi. If we see that she's strong in her opinion, and when she's saying, I don't want to drink, it's because she's clearly indicating, I know I'm guilty. So it doesn't make a difference, says Rabbi Akiva, at what point of the process we're up to. Klal, klal, shasya, she won't drink. But if we see that she's regretting because she's fearful of what's going to happen, so now our halacha is as follows. Actually, karva kametz, until the kametz was not brought, that katiloyim chamegillah, where the megillah was not yet erased, so at that point, inamu even imcha chamegillah, that they erased the megillah before they brought the kametz. That the Kahanim did the wrong thing, because the Rabbi Akiva agrees with the opinion of the Rabbanon that the Megillah should not be erased until after the Karban Mincha was brought. In all these cases, Matzia Hadriba, she could change her mind, even though she's only changing her mind, not because she's admitting clearly that she's guilty, she's only doing it because she's afraid. However, Mishim Karva comments, if the comments was brought, that means the din of the kahana demachki, the comments was brought, and the procedure, as we learned according to the Rabbanon, according to Akiva, is that after the comments is brought, you're supposed to erase the megillah, and now she changes her mind and she doesn't want to drink. And the reason she doesn't want to drink is because, just because she's fearful, teaches us that loymatzim adrabei, that at this point she can't go back. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says that even in a case that she's regretting machmas berusa, that we see that she's admitting that she's guilty, Rabbi Yehuda says that the halacha is once the Megillah was erased, it doesn't make a difference why she's regretting the decision to drink. She's forced to drink. But ask the Gemara, Kasha Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, we have a question, because Hassam Omar, previously we learned that the erasure of the carbon of the Megillah is what makes her, we force her to drink. And also we say the kaimitz, that if they brought the kaimitz, we force her to drink. Says the Gemara, Trei Tanoim Aleiv Rabbi Akiva, does Machlokes Tanoim, what is Rabbi Akiva's opinion? Is it the Mechika of the Megillah that forces her to drink, or is the bringing of the kaimitz that forces her to drink? So now the Gemara asks a question, according to the opinion of Akiva. First, she said, I'm not drinking because I'm admitting that I'm guilty. And then she changed her mind and she says, I am drinking. Mahu, what will be the halacha? Do we say, once she said, what she's saying is, that she is admitting that she's guilty, and once she's admitting that she's guilty, the kim the achzik nafshe b'tumah. Once she's admitting that she's tamei lematzia hadabai, she can't go back on that. A woman that admits that she's guilty can't go back on it. Or duma kim dam shoysani, since afterwards she says I do want to drink, galya data. That's clearly an indication that the reason she said she doesn't want to drink is not because she was admitting to guilt.
Rather, the reason she said she didn't want to drink was Bachmas Bisusa Hudamra. She only said it because she was scared. And we're learning that Rabbi Akiva holds that if a woman is saying after a certain point, the Kamitza or the Ratio of the Megillah, that she doesn't want to drink and she's only saying it because she's scared, we do make her drink. So what does Rabbi Akiva hold in such a situation? And the Gemara remains with a tekel. The Gemara teaches us one more halacha. Amar Avuda Shmuel, we have to put something bitter into the mayim amorim. My tamad amakra, may hamorim, shemorim kfar. They're ready bitter from the outset. And that's why, says Ravuda Shmuel, the halacha is that you have to put in something bitter. So the Biri explains that the reason we put something bitter into it to teach us that we would think that we shouldn't put in the mayim or we shouldn't put in anything bitter, because by putting something bitter, she'll say it's the bitter substance that was put in that caused me to be punished. Teaches us the halacha that not only are we not concerned for that, but rather the halacha is that we have to put that. I saw another interesting pshat, that the reason we put something bitter in it is because what happens if the woman, because of what terrible procedure that's going on here, will become a nida. And the halach is that the nida will make any food or liquid that she comes in contact with tameh. So now we have a very serious issue. If she's going to make that tameh, we again have tumah in the base of Mikdash. Not only may you can't have tumah in the base of Mikdash, the Chasam Sofer is concerned that maybe it will become disqualified, that if the mayhem marim are tumah, they will become disqualified from being potent, says the Chasam Sofer. That's why the halacha teaches us, that we should put into it something bitter. So it's not considered a good liquid, it's not considered a good beverage. Since at this point it's no longer considered a decent beverage, it's not able to be makabel tumah. And therefore, even if the soite becomes tameh, it will not affect their potency.